Star Wars Rebellion Review, the hidden base epic that earned a permanent shelf. Robert here, pull up a chair and let us sort the keeper from the shelf filler. Star Wars Rebellion Fantasy Flight Games 2016 is a 2-4 player asymmetric strategy game where one side commands the overwhelming galactic empire hunting for a single hidden rebel base, and the other plays the outgunned rebel alliance trying to survive long enough to ignite a galaxy-wide revolt. It runs 3 to 4 hours. Ships with over 150 plastic miniatures and 25 leaders, and is one of the highest-rated head-to-head games ever made. Board Game Geek mean tilde 8.4, longtime top 10. It is absolutely worth owning if you want one big, narrative, dudes on a map war game and you have a regular opponent. The combat is its weakest joint. The Rise of the Empire expansion's cinematic combat fixes it, but the hidden base tension is some of the best in the hobby. I have a rule on the Puzzlewick shelves. A game earns its slot, or it goes back in the donation box. Space is finite, evenings are finite, and I'd rather own 12 games I'll fight to play than 40 I'm vaguely fond of. Star Wars Rebellion is the game that made me question whether the rule was too strict, because for about a week, it was on the wrong side of it. I'd unboxed it, marveled at the little plastic Death Star, played one teaching game where the combat ground to a halt around hour 3, and quietly thought, this is a beautiful thing, I will never get to the table. Then the second game happened, and the third, and I understood what everyone meant. This is the rare epic that justifies its own length. Below is the whole story, what it is, the asymmetric hook that makes it special, what's actually in that enormous box, how the two sides play, the catch that nearly sent it back, how to win as each faction, what the Rise of the Empire expansion adds, and who should and shouldn't bring it home. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What is Star Wars Rebellion and what's the hidden base hook? One player is the Galactic Empire, a giant methodical war machine with Star Destroyers, Stormtroopers, Vader, the Death Star, and a clock running against them. The other is the Rebel Alliance, who at the very start of the game secretly chooses one planet from a deck of probe cards to be their hidden base. The Empire's entire game is a deduction puzzle wrapped in a military campaign. Spread across the galaxy, subjugate systems, and use probe droids to eliminate planets that aren't the base until they can corner it and crush it. The Rebels' entire game is staying alive, using subterfuge, diplomacy, and guerrilla raids to push their reputation up a track before the Empire's time marker catches them. That asymmetry isn't a flavor difference, it's the whole engine. The Empire is a hammer searching for a needle, and the needle wins simply by not getting hit before the bell rings. The first time you play the Empire and realize the galaxy is enormous, and that single hidden planet could be any of 24 worlds, the dread is exquisite. The first time you play the Rebels and watch a Star Destroyer fleet drift one jump away from your base, you stop breathing. That is the hook, and almost nothing else in the hobby does it at this scale. Designer and pedigree, designed by Corey Konieczka and published by Fantasy Flight Games in 2016. It won the 2016 Golden Geek Best Two-Player Board Game and the UK Games Expo Award for Best Board Game with Miniatures, and has sat in Board Game Geek's top 10 for years. Where it ranks mean user rating of roughly 8.410 across tens of thousands of ratings, widely cited as a long-standing top 10 game on Board Game Geek, and one of the 2 or 3 best head-to-head war games in print. What's actually in the box? The minis and components? Open the lid, and the table presence hits you before any rule does. The core set ships with 153 plastic miniatures, 89 Imperial and 64 Rebel, plus 25 leaders on stands, your Vaders, Lukes, Leias, Han Solos and Emperors, 10 custom dice, and a 2-part galaxy map you assemble like a small console. The card pool is deep. 68 mission cards, 34 action cards, 31 probe cards, 30 tactic cards, and 15 objective cards, supported by 39 loyalty markers, 32 damage markers, 10 sabotage markers, attachment rings, and the reputation and time markers that drive the Rebels' win condition. The miniatures are unpainted, but genuinely lovely sculpts, TIE fighters, X-wings, AT-ATs, transports, and yes, an honest-to-goodness plastic Death Star that you slide menacingly from system to system. There's a learn-to-play booklet and a separate rules reference, which tells you everything about the complexity tier. This is a game that needs a manual you keep open. Be warned about footprint assembled. This game eats a dining table. It is not a coffee table filler. It's a clear the afternoon and the surface production. The components are the easy part of the recommendation. Everyone agrees the box is gorgeous. Core box contents, verified, 153 plastic miniatures, 89 Imperial plus 64 Rebel, 25 leaders with stands, 10 custom dice, 2-part game board, 68 missions / 34 action / 31 probe / 30 tactic / 15 objective cards, plus loyalty, damage, sabotage, reputation, and time markers. 2 to 4 players, ages 14 plus. 180 to 240 minutes. Tame the setup with Baggy's 30-minute setup is real. Sort the 4-card decks and the marker piles into labeled bags or a tackle tray on day 1. It cuts your second setup roughly in half and is the single best quality of life move for this game. How does it play? The two sides and the turn loop. Each round flows through 3 phases. First assignment. Both players secretly commit leaders, those standee characters, to missions, face down cards that do things like sabotage a system, rally a planet to your cause, capture an enemy leader, or trigger rebel objectives. Second, command. Players alternate revealing missions and resolving them, or instead spending a leader to activate a system and move build units there. A mission can be opposed. If your opponent has a leader to spare, they roll to interfere, so reading where the other side will contest you is a constant mind game. Third, refresh. Leaders come home, cards refill, and crucially the time marker can advance, the rebels' doomsday and salvation clock in 1. The Empire's loop is logistics and pressure. Activate systems, push fleets outward, drop stormtroopers to subjugate planets, and play probe cards to cross worlds off the suspect list for the hidden base. The rebels' loop is asymmetric and sneakier. You mostly can't win fights, so you fish for objective cards. Each completed objective shoves your reputation up the track toward victory. You run diplomatic and sabotage missions, and you use leaders defensively. A leader committed to a system can lock enemy units in place, because a system with a leader in it can't move units out. The whole thing is a tense conversation conducted through face-down cards, where bluffing about which leader went where matters as much as any die roll. When it sings, it's the best Star Wars story you'll ever co-author. When combat triggers at scale late in the game, it can stutter, which brings us to the catch. The full base game spread, 2 galaxy boards, miniatures, leaders, and decks laid out and ready to play. The 2 win conditions, plainly Empire, locate and conquer the hidden rebel base before time runs out. Rebel, complete objectives to advance your reputation marker until it meets the time marker on the track, that is, survive and stir up the galaxy long enough to win the war of public opinion. Leaders are your action economy. Leaders are the scarcest resource on both sides. Every mission, every system activation, every contested role spends 1. Whoever manages their leader pool best and keeps 1 or 2 in reserve to react usually controls the round. The catch, is the combat really that clunky? Yes, and I won't pretend otherwise. This is the thing that nearly kept it off my shelf, and it's the one criticism every honest reviewer raises. Base game combat works like this. When fleets and ground forces meet, you roll custom dice and then draw and play tactic cards to add hits, but you can only use a tactic card's effect if your dice rolled the matching symbols. So you'll draw a great card and be unable to play it because the dice didn't cooperate, then repeat the dance over multiple rounds of a single battle. Early in the game, when skirmishes are small, it's fine. Late in the game, when both sides have stacked huge fleets over the base, a single climactic battle can become a slow, fiddly slugfest of dice then cards then dice that drains the drama right out of the moment it should be peaking. I had exactly that experience in my first game. The finale that should have been Endor felt like doing taxes. Here's the thing that saved it for me. Combat is the exception in Rebellion, not the rule. The vast majority of the game is the gorgeous cat and mouse of missions, movement, and deduction, and that part is close to flawless. Once I learned to keep battles small and decisive instead of letting them balloon, the clunk faded into a minor tax on an otherwise superb experience. And if it still bothers you, the expansion exists specifically to fix it. Honest weakness, base game combat, multiple critics flag it. Combat can become a high-maintenance slugfest near the end that's neither interesting nor quick. And it's famously wonky, because you can draw a strong tactic card but can't play it without the matching dice symbols. Mitigation: if you stay base game, don't let battles snowball. Commit forces to win fast and decisively or not at all. A quick two-round battle plays cleanly. A five-round mega stack is where the system bogs down. Resolve damage on the heaviest hitting enemy units first to shorten the exchange. How to play the Empire well: playing the Empire is playing a search algorithm with a fleet. Your job is to convert the whole galaxy from unknown to eliminated until only the base is left, then arrive in overwhelming force. Open by securing your home system and immediately expanding. Grab undefended planets early and aggressively, because every subjugated world is both production and information. Spread, but never thin. Split your forces each round so multiple prongs are capturing planets, but keep each prong large enough to survive a rebel ambush, and always leave yourself movement options left and right so you never get boxed into a predictable lane. Prioritize high production worlds. Mon Calamari is contested by both sides. Race for it to fuel your build. Lean on Gozanti-style transports as cheap expansion vehicles. Jump in, drop a stormtrooper to claim the system, and keep your star destroyers concentrated as a strike force rather than scattering them. Use probe cards relentlessly and read them like a detective. Every card that's not the base narrows the field. And hold a leader or two in reserve so you can contest the rebels' missions. Nothing demoralizes a rebel player like having their objective sabotaged the turn before it's scored. The Empire's enemy is the clock and its own impatience. Be systematic, be everywhere, and let the noose tighten. When you finally guess right, hit with everything at once. A half-committed assault on the base is how Empires lose won games. Plastic miniatures of iconic ships and units, including the Death Star, Star Destroyers, and Rebel Fighters. Empire opening checklist: 1. Lock your home system. 2. Grab every undefended adjacent planet. 3. Race the rebels for high production worlds. 4. Use transports to expand, keep star destroyers massed. 5. Spend probe cards every round to shrink the base's possible locations. Don't sandbag the final assault when you find the base. Commit decisively and in full strength. A trickle of forces lets the rebels' built-up defenses crush you piecemeal. The very outcome rebel strategy is designed to engineer. How to play the rebels well: the rebel mantra is simple and counterintuitive. You do not win by fighting, you win by surviving and scoring. Your whole identity is the hidden base, so choose it with intent. Many strong players hide somewhere fairly out of the way. Farfan, Sluz, and Fakir get named a lot. But the real trick is staying boring and unreadable while the Empire methodically expands. Don't telegraph your location by over-defending it. Treat your fleet as a tool with exactly two jobs: blocking the Empire's path to your base, delay, don't brawl, and eventually killing the Death Star, so prioritize X-Wing production over a battle fleet you can't afford to lose. Build your base defenses up enough that a small Imperial scouting force that stumbles in gets crushed, which buys you priceless time and tells the Empire nothing. Objectives are your scoreboard. They favor you, so chase them aggressively. And remember, higher value objectives tend to sit deeper in the deck, so set up the early ones to fuel the bigger late ones. Use leaders defensively and cleverly. Park a leader in a system stuffed with Imperial forces, and those units can't move out that round. A free way to freeze a fleet you don't want jumping toward home. Keep a leader or two in reserve to dodge captures and counter the Empire's missions. Above all, manage the clock as your ally. Every round that passes without being found is a round closer to victory. You're not the underdog losing slowly, you're the underdog running out the clock on purpose. A look at the box contents and component layout for Star Wars: Rebellion, Rebel Priorities, In Order 1, Hide Unread, Don't Overdefend, and Reveal Yourself. 2. Chase objectives. They favor you and drive your reputation win. 3. Build X-Wings for the Death Star, not a doomed battle fleet. 4. Use leaders to lock enemy stacks in place. 5. Fortify the base just enough to punish a small scout force. The leader lock trick, a system that contains one of your leaders, can't have its units moved out that turn. Drop a leader into a threatening Imperial stack to freeze it for a round. One of the cheapest, most powerful defensive plays the Rebels have. Rise of the Empire, the two-player experience, and the four-player question, two things determine whether Rebellion is the right purchase for you: how you feel about the combat, and how many people you're playing with. On the first, the Rise of the Empire expansion, 2017, inspired heavily by Rogue One, is the single best upgrade you can make, and for many of us, it's close to mandatory. It adds 8 new leaders, 36 miniatures, new objectives and missions, and most importantly, a cinematic combat overhaul that replaces the fiddly dice-gated tactic cards with faction-specific card play, secretive, bluff-driven combat more like what you'd see in a modern card battler. It directly targets the base game's weakest joint and turns climactic battles from a chore into a highlight. On the second question, this is, in its heart, a two-player game. The asymmetry, the hidden information, the head-to-head clock, all of it is tuned for one Empire commander versus one Rebel commander, and at two players, it's an absolute heavyweight champion. There is an official 3-4-player team variant, but the consensus, mine included, is that it dilutes the experience, decisions get diffused across teammates, the deduction loses its single-mind intensity, and the runtime balloons further. Buy Rebellion to play it with one trusted opponent across a long, glorious evening. If that's your situation, few games on the planet deliver more. Rise of the Empire contents 8 leaders, 36 plastic figures, 3 green dice, 5 target markers, 2 attachment rings, 44 mission/32 advanced tactics/16 action/12 objective cards, plus the cinematic combat rules. Not standalone, requires the base game. The 4-player caveat, a 3-4-player team mode exists, but reviewers widely report it as unsatisfying compared to the head-to-head game. Treat Rebellion as a 2-player experience first and foremost. Final verdict. Star Wars, Rebellion earned its shelf, and it earned it the hard way. It nearly lost the spot in its first week over a combat system that turned my big finale into paperwork. What kept it is everything around that one soft joint. The best hidden base tension in the hobby, an asymmetry so complete that the two sides feel like different games, and a table full of miniatures, yes, including the Death Star, that turns every session into a story you co-author. By the base game, if you have one trusted opponent and an appetite for a long, heavy cinematic war, add Rise of the Empire, the moment the combat starts to nag, because its cinematic combat overhaul fixes the one real flaw and turns climactic battles into the highlight they always deserve to be. This is not a game for big casual groups or short evenings. It's a two-player heavyweight that rewards commitment more than almost anything I own. If that's you, clear the table and clear the night. Few games repay it like this one. It's a keeper. Frequently asked questions: is Star Wars Rebellion a two-player game? At its heart, yes. It's built around one Empire commander versus one Rebel commander, and at two players, it's one of the best head-to-head games ever made. An official 3-4-player team variant exists, but most players and reviewers find it dilutes the deduction and tension. Buy it primarily for 2. How long does a game take? Plan for 3-4 hours of play, 180 to 240 minutes, plus roughly 30 minutes of setup the first few times. Experienced pairs land near the lower end, teaching games run long. This is a clear the evening game, not a filler. How hard is it to learn? It's a heavyweight board game geek weight around 3.75. The concepts aren't individually brutal, but the rulebook is dense and poorly organized, and you're teaching 2 asymmetric sides at once. Expect your first game or 2 to be rough. By the 3rd, it clicks and sings. What's the hidden base mechanic? At setup, the Rebel player secretly picks one planet from the probe deck to be their base. The Empire wins by finding and conquering it. The Rebel wins by surviving and scoring objectives before the clock runs out. The Empire uses probe cards to eliminate planets that aren't the base. It's a deduction puzzle wrapped in a war game. How does the Empire win? The Empire must locate the hidden Rebel base and conquer that system before time runs out. That means expanding across the galaxy, subjugating planets for production and information, and burning probe cards to narrow down where the base could be, then arriving in overwhelming force. How do the rebels win? The rebels win by completing objective cards, which advance their reputation marker up a track until it meets the time marker. In other words, you survive and stir up galaxy-wide support long enough, you do not win by outfighting the Empire, you win by outlasting them. Is the combat really clunky? The base game combat is the most common complaint. You roll custom dice and play tactic cards, but you can only use a card's effect if your dice rolled the matching symbols, so big late-game battles can bog down. It's the exception, not the rule, of the experience, and the Rise of the Empire expansion's cinematic combat fixes it. Do I need the Rise of the Empire expansion? It's near essential for many players. It adds 8 leaders, 36 miniatures, Rogue One content, and 100 plus cards, but the headline is a cinematic combat overhaul that retires the dice-gated tactic cards for tense, bluff-driven card play, directly fixing the base game's biggest weakness. Note it requires the base game. What's in the base game box? 153 plastic miniatures, 89 Imperial, 64 Rebel, 25 leaders on stands, 10 custom dice, a two-part galaxy board, and a deep card pool, 68 mission, 34 action, 31 probe, 30 tactic, 15 objective cards, plus loyalty, damage, sabotage, reputation, and time markers. Yes, there's a plastic Death Star. How does Rebellion compare to War of the Ring? They're the two kings of the asymmetric, narrative, two-player epic genre. War of the Ring is a bit heavier and crunchier. Rebellion is slightly more accessible and leans harder into the hidden information deduction. Choose by theme and appetite for rules, both are exceptional. Many players slightly prefer Rebellion's gameplay, even while loving the Lord of the Rings theme more. Is it good for solo play? Out of the box, it's a competitive two-player design with no official solo mode. Dedicated fans have created community solo bot variants, but if reliable solo play is your priority, this isn't built for it. Its magic is the head-to-head mind game. Is Star Wars Rebellion worth the money? If you have a regular opponent and want one big cinematic war game, yes, it's frequently called the best two-player grand strategy game and a top 10 title on Board Game Geek. If you're mostly playing with larger groups, want shorter sessions, or dislike rules-heavy games, your money is better spent elsewhere. It rewards commitment more than almost anything on the shelf.